God, please take your seats. There is a traditional opening to this service. I say, He has risen, and you reply,
He has risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You reply, He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us say that again with confidence. He has risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God Almighty. Because our Savior is alive. Death could not hold him down. Nothing could keep him from coming, sacrificing his life for each and every one of us. And I'd like to welcome you to today's service. It is a joyful celebration of the greatest gift we have in Jesus Christ. So let us say a word of thanksgiving. Father, we just thank you that the sacrifice that Jesus made was not in vain. Your children are gathered here in faith, knowing that he died for each and every one of us. Thank you for calling us out of our homes to bring us here together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to celebrate all that he has done for us. And Lord, we just submit the service into your hands. We say, speak to us, feed us, fill us afresh, O God, and be with us in everything that is done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're very welcome to the service. I was very, very excited to get Easter Sunday because there are just some songs you cannot sing with conviction any other time. Now, my friend and I were talking on Tuesday, and she was telling me about her brother who has just started talking about his faith and wanting to know more about God. And she was really surprised by this, and she said to me, I didn't even know he was seeking the Lord. And without a heartbeat, I said to her, he wasn't seeking the Lord, but the Lord was seeking him. And that's what I want to tell all of you today. You might not know the Lord, or you might know the Lord a little bit, but God knows you, and he is seeking you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to get involved in your life. He wants to be there with you every day, every minute. If you would spend time with him, he would do something amazing. So whatever level of faith you're at, just look for more. Look for more. Hunger and thirst for more. And when Nathan comes to tell us the good news, the amazing news, that the funeral has been canceled, that is amazing. Because Jesus is alive. We don't have to mourn him. We can celebrate all that he has done for us. And just remember that the message is for you personally. So just seek out what God wants to talk to you about today. I have a couple of notices for the youth. Mo is very keen about the youth and people, that we have Limitless Camp. We need deposits. We need you to fill out forms. We need you to show your interest so that we can take you away from your parents and go and celebrate with about another 6,000 teenagers to absolutely raise the roof. Oh, you haven't jumped until you've jumped in the midst of teenagers. And you're 50, and you're trying to keep up. It's not easy, but to the glory of God, I'll be there. And I'd love for you to release your children for us to go. It's for people that are in high school. So if you're in high school, please do tell your interest either to myself or Danny. I think she's hiding upstairs somewhere. See me, even if it's just for 2 seconds, so that I can take down any interest, please. It would be really, really great. Big church festival. We have been pushing that, and I think it's in the notice sheets again, how to connect with that. I'm leading that again, so if you are interested in that, please do let me know. Somebody really blessed us by paying for someone's place, and actually for the youth camp, we've actually have 3 places that have been paid for now, so please do let us know if you're struggling with finances or anything. We can make it. God can make it happen. God can make it happen. Be in the place where God wants you to be and don't miss out. Cafe Church is a new initiative that the church is starting out. It'll be held in this building, in this room. So it'll be starting from the 2nd of April, 9:30 to 11:30. Please come and support this outreach. It's to reach out to people that haven't been to church and to just make them cups of tea. They believe there's cake. There's always cake in the Baptist church. And And it'll be held every Tuesday and Thursday. So please do come and support it in prayer. Do feed into it money-wise if you can as well. It'll be really, really appreciated. When the children go out, and for the younger ones that are in Ignite in primary school, you need to collect them. Can I just ask that Ignite 2, which are the kids in year 3 to 6, can you collect them from the door that is just by the organ? And the younger ones, if you could stand outside this door here, just up at the top, because if you enter in where the children are still having their lessons, it disrupts the lessons a little bit and takes their attention away. And really, we're just going to give them to you when we're ready, so don't try to rush us. The Sunday school teachers will have a format of a lesson that they want, especially if there's a memory verse. We really want to drum in the Bible into their heads and have memory verses and things like that. So it can be quite disruptive if people are like, oh, we've got to go. Just wait. The Lord waits for you. By God's grace, you can wait for us. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Right now, we're going to have the big question that we ask every Sunday. Have any of the young people had a birthday today or the week before or the week ahead? Someone is pointing to Alicia. Anymore? Oh, and Sarah. Sarah's had a birthday. Yes, very lovely. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Alicia. And as well, we've got somebody else having a birthday there. Is that me? Sorry? Kristen's had a birthday up at the top. Anymore? Rin has had a birthday. Excellent. Happy birthday, Rin. Well done. Any of the younger members who would like to come and take a present from the birthday box? No? Okay, we're going to sing happy birthday to all the adults that have notified they have their birthday. Thank you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Okay, now we are going to prepare for all that Nathan is going to talk to us about later on. And we're going to come into the presence of the Lord with song, singing, and thoughtfulness. And I've chosen the songs very carefully. And I've tried to separate them so you're not standing for a long time. So if you can you please stand and sing two songs with us? Low in the Grave He Lay. And then the other one, I call it There Is a Day. It is called There Is a Day. Sometimes I call things not their first line and I get into trouble with Peter at the back. But it is called There Is a Day. So please stand and sing these two songs with us.
Thank you.
Take your seats. So I just want to highlight the next song that we're going to sing. It's called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. And I just hang my hat on the first two lines. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. Imagine that. Imagine that it is finished, as Jesus said, that heaven has done everything for your salvation, for your blessing, for everything you need, not just for you to give your life to Christ. All that has been done, but also for you to live a good, interesting, amazing, fantastic, every day full of joy type of life. There is no more, no more. All the resources you need, no more needs to be done. And when you're listening to Nathan's message today, just know that God has done everything he needs to do. So guess who's the weakest link? Guess who's the one who needs to look? Who's the one who needs to change? Who's the one who needs to say, what are you saying, Lord? It's us. And I'm willing to admit it. I need to change. I need to do more. Look for the message in the message. And it's for you. Personally, God is speaking to you personally. Children, even while you're in Sunday school, and I know there's some Easter eggs today, but the message is what God is saying. It's not the Easter egg that you're going to eat and forget about in 2 weeks' time. By the time you go back to school after 2 weeks' holiday, you'll have forgotten about Easter eggs. But remember what God is saying to you, even through your Sunday school teachers, even through those that are trying to lead you to Christ. Listen. There is no more for heaven out to give. We're going to try singing this sitting down. So please, you know, take a rest and just listen to the words because they are for you personally. Thank you.
My righteous. given. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon.
Amen. So I just want to give something for the children before they go off to their classes. And this is your song that I chose for today. It's called The Big Family of God, because that is what God makes us. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all family. We shared a breakfast meal together. We share communion together. We share, hopefully, our lives, our troubles. We help each other through things. And God loves each and every one of us. He loves us. He loves us by name. So that's what we're going to sing about today. There are actions. I'm not brilliant at them. But we're going to give it a go. And so, I mean, we've had a nice relaxing time. At the end of this, children, then you can go off to your groups. But before we do, let's have a little bit of fun. So we're going to sing Big Family of God. We're going to try. We try the actions.
Some of us like reading books. Some of us like feeding ducks.
can please go off to your groups and take your teachers with you. Thundering elephants at the top there. Generally, we get about 65 kids in total leave the church, about to go downstairs. The older ones go downstairs in the basement in a place called Underground, and they love it. And the younger ones stay upstairs, and they do need collecting at the end, just to remind you. Otherwise, you'll be like, where's my child? They're upstairs, and you need to go and pick them up, please. Okay, let's come to the Lord in prayer before Nathan comes to preach to us. Heavenly Lord, we just thank you that you chose us. Before we even knew you, you chose us to be a part of your family. And that you now call us by name. And you call us into your house to eat at your table as you present the word to us. Heavenly Lord, we just pray that you will help us to realize you are the answer to every question. Whether it is a government question, an environmental problem, a world difficulty, Lord. Whether it is our personal needs, our lacks, the things that we need to change. Whether it is our children, our friends, our families. Even if it is healing in our bodies, Lord, you are the answer. You are the solution. We need not look any further. There is no more for heaven now to give. So, Lord, I pray that you would enlarge our faith, that you would help us to move up to the next level of trusting you, believing in you, relying on you, looking to you, seeking you, being enfolded in your arms. And as we hear, Lord, the word that comes today, I pray that our hearts will be ready to receive, that we will be happy to hear from you, and we will allow our lives to be changed by what you feed us this morning. And when we leave this place, Lord, I pray that we will be empowered to be the people you destined us to be. And in all that we do, oh God, we may lift up the name of Jesus, declaring he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. May the praises of our lips rise up to heaven. Throughout the weeks, the difficulties, the change of weather, whether we have money or we don't have money, whatever we are doing, however tired we feel, may we realize that when we are on our knees, we can touch heaven. That however softly we call to you, you are listening out to us. Whatever the problem is, however big the mountain, you are the solution. You are the reason for the season. Your death and resurrection, Lord Jesus, paid it all. Help us to live that life of trusting you, of walking with you, and glorifying you amongst many people wherever we go. Lord, be exalted and glorified. And may we take our problems to the cross and leave them there, knowing that you are the one to solve them. Let us not look anywhere else, O God, but to you for all of our needs. And we come with a heart that is hungry for you today. Feed us, O God, and change us. Make us better people for our sake and for our community, our family, the places where we work, everywhere we go, Lord, in the supermarkets, wherever we are. Let them know that today we were with Jesus. And when all this happens, O Lord, let us praise you, knowing you have done a new thing for us, that this Easter 2024, the blood of Jesus was shed for a reason. And in all that we do, Lord, Help us to glorify you and to sing your praises and to change our lives and those around us. All this I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you.
Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.
Yes. Amen. It's a wonderful day. It's good to be alive. And it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. To those of you, if this is your first time, let me just echo the welcome from Kuda. You are so welcome and it's good to see you. And I pray that you will be blessed by this message today. I want to get right into the word of the Lord, and I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, and we're going to commence reading from verse number 1, Luke 24 and verse 1. And it reads like this: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women, can we say the women?
Women.
The women took the spices they had prepared. I want you to really take this in. They took the spices that they had prepared. And they went to the tomb. Spices was an indication that they had come to anoint the dead body of Jesus. It was customary of that day to anoint the dead with spices and perfumes. So that was their intention early in the morning. But verse 2 reads, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." And this is what the contents of that memo was from Jesus. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11, the men. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But verse 11 reads, but they did not believe. They did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. I want to pause there. I want to come back to verse number 1 again, a B clause of verse 1. It says that the women took the spices that they had prepared and they went out to the tomb. They took the spices that they had prepared. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for your gospel, your good news, that is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes in it. to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We thank you for your gospel, and we pray now as we, Lord, hear a word from you, that you would speak to our hearts, minister to each and every one of us. And when it's all said and done, we want to point and give you all the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord, send resurrection in this house even now to anything that is dead, anything that needs a resurgence of mind, body, soul, and spirit. Send resurrection now. Revive your church in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to speak from this thought. Did you get the memo? The funeral is cancelled. Did you get the memo? The funeral is cancelled. Friends, in the first two verses that we've just read this morning, in Luke chapter 24, we are afforded by Dr. Luke here a detailed account of the atmosphere around the tomb. We can sense the mood of this group of loyal followers of the Lord Jesus. And no, I'm not talking and speaking about the 12 apostles, the 12 men who were called to walk with the Lord Jesus, but I'm referring to a group of women who, for the majority of this group, they were actually present at the cross, at the foot of the cross. And 3 days later, they arrive on the scene early in the morning, on the first day of the week. After observing the Sabbath day, they have come early in the morning with one item on their agenda, and that was to prepare a dignified burial for the Lord Jesus. They came with spices to anoint his dead body. And as much as I admire and respect the loyalty and the dedication of the women to show up and to be counted for, to be present at the cross and at the tomb, when most of the men were terrified, it was the women who took the initiative. However, if hindsight was afforded to Mary Magdalene and to Joanna and to Mary, the mother of James, and the others that were with them, then I believe if they were alive today and with us, they perhaps would look back at this moment with a little bit of embarrassment on their faces. Because Dr. Luke informs us here in Luke chapter 24 that they were prepared for the wrong type of event. You see, the very fact that they had brought spices and perfumes to the tomb lets us know the mindset and the state of mind of this group of women. It's very clear, friends, that their choice of gifts, that we get a glimpse of their thinking, that they believed wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ was dead. Finished, the end, expired, deceased, terminated, kaput. In the words of the R&B American boy band, they had come to the end of the road. Some of you know that song like me. And their sole desire was to ensure that the body of Jesus, the remains, would be treated with dignity and respect. Only to discover that the funeral was cancelled. And friends, I can't help but see not just the women here at the tomb, but I can't help but see all of us here today, myself included, in the actions and the thoughts of the women at the tomb. Because sometimes in our humanity, we can pronounce a premature death verdict on something that appears to have died to us. And we believe that it's the end of the road. We believe that the situation is final. I remember when I was in school, in my opinion, throughout the years at school, there would be various moments when my personal verdict about the shoes that I was wearing on my feet, there were times when I made a personal verdict to my parents that I needed a new pair of shoes. And sometimes my parents would agree. They would acquiesce to my request. They would say, yes, you need an update, a refresh. You need a new pair of shoes. But sometimes my dad would look at the shoes and he would cast another verdict to my opinion. He would say, hang about a bit. There's still life left in those shoes. All you need to do is get some good old shoe polish. Give it a good shine and you'll be good to go. My dad was always keen to extend the life of the shoes on my feet. And friends, I believe that the resurrection teaches all of us here today that simply put, it's not over until God says that it's over. Yes, you may place Jesus on the cross, but in 3 days later, he has the power to turn a funeral into a celebration. And I don't know what appears to be dead and final in your life this morning, but I'm here to encourage you today on this Easter Sunday that God specializes in things that seem impossible. The resurrection teaches us, church, that God has a way of turning a bleak situation around. Yes, on paper, the doctor's report may look and seem terminal. On paper, the bills mounting up on the table may seem insurmountable on your own. On paper, it may feel like you've come to the end of the road, like you have nothing else to give. But the empty tomb, church, it lets us know that all things are possible with God. And no, this is not just positive thinking. This is not just pie in the sky talk, good vibes. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is assurance. It is hope that is certain that up from the grave he arose. And what that means for us here today is that we can testify, along with the old hymn writer, that we once were lost, but now we are found. We were spiritually blind, but now we can see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the situation is clear. The women clearly believed that it was all over. The spices that they had prepared indicate that they were resigned to accept that Jesus was no longer in the land of the living. But secondly, the complication here in Luke's account, it lets us know that the women, they must have forgot the memo. Can we say they forgot the memo? Yes. And not only did the women forget the memo 2,000 years ago, but it's possible that even today, as Christians, we can forget the memo of God's word. Because the Bible lets us know, friends, that when the women arrived at the tomb to find the stone rolled away from the tomb with no body in view, and then they found two angels appearing as men who came alongside them and offered these words. They said, "Why do you women look for the living among the dead?" And then they go on to say, "He is not here. He has risen." But then they go on to say, "Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee." And here's the overlooked and forgotten memo and contents of the memo in verse 7. It says that the angels reminded the women of what Jesus had previously shared with them, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners and be crucified. And on the third day, Jesus informed them that he would rise again from the dead. You see, in a real sense, the resurrection of Jesus Christ should not have been a surprise to the women, should not have been a surprise to the 11 disciples, should not have been a surprise to the wider community of followers that believed in the Lord Jesus. Because this was not some inside information that Jesus kept to himself, but Jesus informed and shared this message on a number of different occasions, that he would be crucified and he would be raised back to life on the third day. But it's clear, friends, that due to the gruesome nature of Jesus' death, that either they overlooked what he said, or they simply just forgot. Or it's possible that they did not believe in what he had to say. Or maybe I believe it was a classic case of not paying attention. It's just like a few weeks ago, before I was heading out to a meeting, I opened the bedroom window just a little bit to let some air in. And before leaving early in the morning, Anna will always remind me to make sure that the bedroom window is shut, because we have a pet kitten. Her name is Bessie. And she is always concerned that Bessie would get into the bedroom if the window is open, and she may jump out onto the roof. But on this particular occasion, lo and behold, I forgot to close the window. And when Anna arrived home before me, she called me frantically to say, "Bessie is on the roof." So now I'm rushing back frantically, trying to save my marriage. It's true. Because I know if anything happens to Bessie, then I'm in serious trouble. So thank God I was able to get there in time and to climb out onto the roof and to save little Bessie. But then something else happened that stuck out to me. As I passed Bessie over to Anna through the window, Anna took hold of Bessie, and then she transformed in that very moment into full cat mum mode, making sure that she was okay, taking her downstairs to give her something to eat, not realizing that her husband was still stuck on the roof. Now, And as I was stuck on the roof, struggling to get back through the window, I then began to weigh up in my mind and judge whether the distance down to the garden lawn, if it was, you know, a good safe distance enough for me to jump. But then I said, no, this not. I'm not 16 anymore. But thankfully, Anna came back to help me and I was able to make it through the window safely. To God be the glory. But it taught me, friends, in like manner, sometimes in our humanity, we can become sidetracked. We can become distracted from the memo of God's word. Because sometimes we're faced with obstacles and difficulties in our life, and all we can see in front of us is the problem, is the situation. All we can see is the challenge in front of us. And we can become so preoccupied with what's in front of us that we fail to recognize and take in what God has already declared in his word. If the disciples, if the women were really paying attention to the memo, then what they would have done is that they would have turned up to the tomb, not armed with spices. But I believe they should have turned up to the tomb with some breakfast. What they should have done is they should have stopped by the local Greggs on Jerusalem High Street and picked up some nice pastries for the Lord Jesus and a nice cup of coffee for Jesus to enjoy. If they listened to Jesus in the first place, the last thing that would have been on their minds would have been a funeral. But in reality, they should have been prepared for a celebration. And friends, can I deposit on this point that even in all of our lives and even as a church, as a gathered community, even in our services on Sunday mornings, as we worship God together, the services, I believe, should not resemble a funeral. The gathered services, as we honor God and worship him, should always reflect and include the resurrection. Yes, it's okay to bring our concerns and worries to church. Yes, it's okay to lament and weep and to let it all out. Absolutely. But the message of the gospel should ring loud and clear in every meeting. That we don't have to sorrow as those without no hope. Because there is hope beyond our present circumstances. Have you ever seen the crowd in the football stadiums? How they rejoice at the sight of their football team on the pitch? A few weeks ago, I was able to go and watch my team for the first time. Well, the Legends anyway. And the atmosphere was amazing as we was inside Anfield Stadium. And it dawned on me, if 60,000 people could meet and people travel from all over the country to go and watch the Legends play, then how much more so should the Church of the Living God celebrate on Sunday morning the very fact and truth that up from the grave he arose? The very fact that our sins have been forgiven and we can walk in the newness of life. We have so much to give God thanks for. He is deserving of our praise and our worship. But not only did they forget the memo, but Mary, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, we see that they came to the understanding that there was no need for spices, no need to anoint a dead body. But number three, I want to leave with you. Here's what you need to do, women. and church today, it's time to share the exciting news. Look what happens in verse 10. Luke records that the women found the 11. And they let them know. They said, look, guys, you'll never guess what happened. We turned up early in the morning. We took our spices to anoint his body. But guess what, guys? The tomb was empty. And the angels informed us that we should not look for the living among the dead. That he's not here, he has risen, just as he told us before. That was the first message to be relayed post the resurrection. And the response to that message that was relayed by the women is found in verse 11. It says, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And church, that lets us know, church, that if the 11 disciples who walked with Jesus, they saw his miracles, they supped with him, but if they did not believe the report, then that lets us know that even today, when we share the news of the resurrection, the response may fall along the same lines. This is nonsense. I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? Yeah, they crucified him. All that pain that he endured. And you're telling me he got up? Yeah, right. Many will say that today. It's nonsense. But I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that we as the church should never be discouraged or put off by a perceived lack of interest in the gospel. Nor should we be put off by a total rejection of the message of the gospel. Because our job is simply to share the exciting news, to share the good news, and leave the convincing to God. We don't need to persuade anyone or argue with anyone. Our job is to share the love of God and leave the rest to him. And I'm so inspired by the women at the tomb, because in a male-dominated society, they were bold and courageous and unashamed to declare to the men, to the 11 disciples, that he has risen. Think about that for a moment. Can you imagine that context? Women were relegated as almost second-class citizens in that day. But they were bold enough to proclaim to the 11, this is what the angels have told us. They did not allow the limitations of society to prevent them from sharing the exciting news of the resurrection. And friends, I want to encourage each and every one of us here today that you, like the women, may feel insignificant. Whoever you are, you may feel like you don't have all the relevant words and the adequate words to share the good news. But all you need is faith and trust in Jesus, and his Holy Spirit will equip you to share the exciting news. So number one, they thought it was all over. Secondly, they forgot the memo. Thirdly, they resolved to share the exciting news. But finally this morning, here's the evidence that I want to leave with you. The evidence of the resurrection. If you're here today and you're looking for some further evidence to clarify if the resurrection is truly legitimate, then here's my final point. Dead people cannot eat. You're going to get it. I want to say it again. Dead people cannot eat. I'll never forget, as a kid, one of the first times that I visited Jamaica at the home of my mum, where she grew up, my grandma's house. At the time in the community, someone had died. And in Jamaica, there's a tradition in what they call a nine night. A nine night. It's a celebration of life in the memory of the deceased. It's like a wake, but nine nights typically are celebrated before the funeral. And I'll never forget my uncle pouring some alcohol on the ground in memory of the dead. And as a curious 10-year-old, I remember asking my mum, why is he pouring alcohol on the ground for no apparent reason? And my mum began to explain to me the tradition and the reason why. But then I remember coming back at my mum with a smarty pants comment. I said, but mum, if the person is dead, how can they drink what has been poured on the ground? Dead people can't eat or drink. And in like manner, church, when Jesus made his appearance to the disciples, initially, they thought he was a ghost. And Luke lets us know that even after Jesus showed his hands and his feet, and even after allowing the disciples to touch him, in verse 41 of chapter 24, it says, they still did not believe. They were still dubious. They were still shocked about the possibility that this man had come back to life. But do you know what eased their concerns? Do you know what quelled the concerns of the disciples? Do you know what made the penny drop for them? In verse 41, Jesus asks this question. Do you have anything here to eat? I love this. Because if he was a ghost, if he was a mirage, if he was a spirit, then spirits are not reduced to the capacity of hunger and thirst. But the very fact that Jesus, after the resurrection, would ask for something to eat, that lets us know that he was hungry. He was hungry for something to eat. And the disciples gave him a piece of broiled fish. And the Bible lets us know that he ate in their presence. The proof is in the pudding. Dead people cannot eat. And with love this morning, as I close this message, I want to close by speaking to anyone here today who has doubts in their minds about the resurrection. If you are here today and you have doubts, I want you to know that I'm so happy that you are here. Because Jesus loves you and he has a great plan for your life. But not only, in closing, does the fact that Jesus hungered after the resurrection prove that his resurrected body was intact, working as normal post-resurrection. But I also see something different. I see something from a different vantage point. Not only can dead people can't eat, but the same is true for another meal that Jesus promised to his disciples. Because without Jesus, you and I are dead in our sins. And Jesus, during the Last Supper, he promised his disciples during the Last Supper that he would drink of the cup in their presence for the last time until he drinks anew with them in his Father's kingdom. And to every believer, there will be what's called in the book of Revelation the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the church of the Lord Jesus will share together a glorious celebration in heaven. And this invitation is available to all those who believe in the good news. And the question that I want to leave with you this morning is, have you made reservations for the feast in heaven? You won't find tickets for this meal anywhere else. It's only made available and possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you have not yet made a reservation, if you have not yet come to know Jesus, then my prayer today is that you will open your heart to him. It will be the best decision that you can ever make. Not only did Jesus prove that he was alive by conquering death, by appearing to his disciples, by having something to eat, but that same resurrection power is freely available to anyone who would come to know him as Lord and Savior. And on this Easter Sunday, I want to close by offering an invitation to Jesus Christ. Have you made reservations for heaven? It's only made possible not through good works, not through giving to the poor, but it's only made possible through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would there be one today who wants to respond to the gospel call? As Kuda said, he's on the lookout. He's searching. Even today, he wants to commune with you and have fellowship with you. Would there be one today that wants to know more of the Lord Jesus? I want you to raise your hand in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for you. Is there anyone else that wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Is there anyone else that wants to be baptized? Who's not yet been baptized by a believer's baptism, full immersion? Amen. Oh yes, praise God. Amen. After the service, please don't rush away. Please come and speak to me. I'd love to share more about the plan of salvation and baptism with you both. But thank God for you. Thank you for responding to the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is still saving, even today. And we thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Our time together is fast spent, but we thank you that this is not time wasted. Because, Lord, you have done so much for us. And we thank you that on the third day, you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now we have this wonderful hope of new life, new hope, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we pray that we would continue to live out the resurrection each and every day. Just like the women, may we be emboldened to share the good news, to not be limited by society and by the pressures of humanity, but help us to be bold and courageous, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. We thank you for resurrection. We pray that that resurrection message will ring loud and clear to each and every heart. Whatever we're going through today, with you, we know that all things are possible to those who believe. We love you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kuda.
Thank you, Nathan, and thank God for the lives that have been dedicated to the Lord today. We pray that God continues a wonderful journey with you. I've just been asked to remind you that if you want to give your testimony, if you want to worship with us this evening at 6 p.m., we'll be meeting again, and the title of that one is We See the Glory of the King. We see the King of Glory. It's a song. I got it wrong. We see the King of Glory, and that's what we'll be doing this evening at 6 o'clock, at 6:30. At 6:30. I was just going up. I mean, I worked at a school for 16 years, and I teach Sunday school, so I can't help but just revise some of the things that Nathan has said, and I'm not going to go into it too long. But whatever you have grabbed, whatever you have been fed, whatever you are holding on to, the Bible wants us to do one more thing with that. Some homework. God wants us to go out there and tell. Because in Romans it says, how can they believe if they have never heard? And how can they hear? I'm changing it a little bit. How can they hear if we don't say? So whatever you have gained today, the little or the lot or however much it was, go out there and tell someone. Go out there and change a life. Because that is how the Bible word, that's how Jesus did it right at the beginning. The apostles went and they told someone and they went to different countries. We can go in the streets, we can go to different places and tell someone. So our last song today is going to be Go Tell It on the Mountain. So please stand with us and let us sing that together.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Please do join us in the church lounge for refreshments and a chance to talk and to share with each other as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we leave this place, take the blessings of the Lord with you. As we leave this place, depart to serve. Take his word. Share his word. He will lead you and he will guide you always. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all God's children, let us say, Amen. 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 God bless you all.